Hello, hello, everybody. 25th of September, 2024. I am in the 58th. Thank you for your inquiries. I had a lovely, lovely birthday. I went bowling with a group. My daughter was in charge of the names for everyone, and she put me down as senior discount. Very, very funny. She put me down as senior discount, my wife down as midget and her as offspring. I couldn't figure out. Senior discount has won? What? Oh, that would be me. Yes, it was very, very funny. All right. Thank you for the tip. Let's get straight to your questions. All right. Steph, is it illogical and hypocritical to want to wait until engagement or marriage if you have had sex in the past? Yeah. So it's really hard to make a strong case for better than your worst decisions, right? It's a tough thing to make a case that you should get better than your worst decisions. It's sort of like saying, I should get paid a lot more than I'm willing to get paid for, if that makes sense, right? Like if you say, well, I will accept $60,000 a year, but I should be being paid $160,000 a year. That doesn't really make much sense. And this is somewhat in the present. It's not like, you know, my first job was getting $2.45 an hour, $2.45 an hour. It's not like I'd take that now. But it's hard to say I deserve more than my lowest standard, right? So if your lowest standard is, well, I don't care if she's, you know, obese and tattooed and blue hair and piercings all over the place, you know, I deserve a better woman than that, but I'll date her anyway. Well, what do you mean to say that you deserve something than better, that's better than what you're willing to settle for? Jesus, these glasses. I have this terrible habit of trying to clean things on my shirt and they come up and it's like P. Diddy's oil cabinet, if it was in fact oil and not some rub-on drug. But did you see, there was a black guy who did a TikTok. It doesn't matter that he was black. It was just kind of, he was really funny. This is really tough comic timing. So, and it's a dark comedy matter, but he was filming himself in the grocery store, reaching for some baby oil, and then like P. Diddy emerges over his shoulder. It was very funny, but a little dark. Anyway. So, is it illogical and hypocritical to wait until engagement or marriage if you'd had sex in the past? So, this is a big question, I suppose, in the manosphere, not right. But it's like, if she has had sex with men in the past relatively quickly, why is she making me wait? Right? If she's had sex with men in the past, thank you, Adam, why is she making me wait? It doesn't seem right. Is that right? It doesn't seem right. It's like going to a car dealership. This is a Kevin Samuels bit, right? It's like going to a car dealership and there's a car that is $1,000, and then there's another car that's the same car that is $10,000. It's like, why are you making one guy wait, you know, when, like, why would you make one guy wait until marriage when you had sex with the other guy after a week? So it is tough to raise your standards after you've made bad decisions. Like, you don't get a better man than the man you had kids with, in general, right? You just don't get that. And it just feels manipulative, this born-again virgin stuff. Sorry. Hymen don't regrow, and you cannot put the toothpaste back in the tube, and you cannot unring the bell, right? You cannot unring the bell. Bong! So, now, if a woman says, I had sex too quickly in the past, I've learned better now. I wait. Maybe. But just you have to wait when other people didn't have to wait doesn't really make sense.
All right.
I mean, certainly a woman who doesn't have at least a 3-month rule is kind of suspect. In my view. Kind of suspect. All right. Chalks, thank you for the tip. Writes, hey, Steph, I have been feeling increasingly more cynical about training apprentices. I give them plenty of opportunity and take the blame when things go wrong. They seem to be getting more and more entitled and never show gratitude. Is it fair to think appreciation should be shown with the opportunity given?
Yes. But people's dopamine circuits are absolutely fried these days. And this is true for young people in particular. They're just fried.
It's the badink-badink generation. Badink-badink being you're playing Mario, or you're playing some game, and there's these rotating coins. Badink-badink-badink, pick up the coins. Badink-badink. It's like the gratification, the stimulus to gratification is like nothing. Badink-badink-badink, I get coins. As opposed to you're trying to train apprentices, and it's like, it's probably going to take you 6 to 12 months to get any good at this.
No, badink-badink-badink-badink. Dopamine needs feeding. I can't defer gratification. I need to be good at things now.
Philosophy's the worst of all for that shit, man.
Phew.
I mean, it took me 20 years to start contributing anything of value to the field. 20 years. 20 years to start contributing anything of real value to the field. And now it's 20 years and counting, so can you imagine the ba-ding-ba-ding generation? I'm not interested in this TikTok. I'm going to the next one. I don't like the song. I'm going to skip it. I don't like this girl. I'm going to dump her. She said something wrong. It's over. Ba-ding-ba-ding-ba-ding. Spinning coins that don't exist. No, it's tough. I mean, personally, if I were hiring, I would ask, hey, have you read any good books lately? Tell me some books you've read. Do you like books? Fiction, nonfiction? If they don't read books, no thanks, man. I can't badink-badink. I can't be a spinning coin because you don't have the capacity to defer gratification. It's got to be good now. Good now.
Why does this game take so long to load?
So, yeah, I understand it. I get where you're coming from, but man, I would not in a zillion years hire anybody. Hello, Kang. Kang likes Steph. Good. So I would just ask about, do you write books? Any word on the Liquid Zulu debate? Why does that seem like something I should know? Liquid Zulu. TikTok. Don't know. I'm sorry. Liquid Zulu, the non-aggression principles, fundamentals of libertarian ethics. Wait, didn't I read this? Did I read this? Did I do a review on this? Maybe. Don't know. Is there a debate? All right. Who really won? I did win. You didn't pass out on your birthday like the video going around of people doing ayahuasca.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. You didn't trigger me on the ayahuasca thing. You didn't trigger me on the ayahuasca thing, did you? I mean, I don't want to get off on a rant here. I don't want to get off on a rant here.
Yeah, okay. Ayahuasca, my God. How much must you hate and fear basic and essential self-knowledge if you'd rather ralph up your innards
on an Amazon rainforest floor with panthers scoping you out from above while a 6D heliocentric demon rearranges your neurons to the point where you can't think straight anymore. Well, I could just be honest about my past. Or, hang on, go with me here. Hold, just hear me out. Hear me out. I could enter a portal that drives men mad, vomit myself into oblivion, fry my entire neural center with a carpet bomb of incredibly neuron-rearranging dancing demon footsteps, and I could just do that instead. What do you think? And or I could just criticize my parents, or my society, or my teachers, or my priests. I could do that, or I could put my brain through the witch doctor cheese grater of n-dimensional neuron stomping and call myself enlightened. I fucking hate drugs. Fucking I hate drugs. Oh, flamethrower, Gabriel, blow the trumpets, call down the airstrikes, the columns of fire! I hate drugs. Not quite as much as I hate druggies, but I hate drugs with a loathing, burning, Old Testament, biblical foot stomp of the hammer gods of Thor's ass cracking down on their heads. I hate the drugs. Hate drugs. I hate the cowardice of the people who take drugs. I hate the fact that people can't just say, I'm a lazy addict and they've got to have walls of text if it's all natural and it's a healing thing and it's 20 years of therapy in one night. No! Face your demons, don't drug them. Look in the mirror. Don't fall into nothing chased by the falling Lucifer. A brain-frying rearrangement agents. I hate the people who... Well, I could learn things about myself, and I could deal with the trauma and the issues, and I could be honest with myself, or I could just face-plant into a giant bowl of bottomless pharma goop, scramble my brains, get suicidal ideation, murderous fantasies. I mean, my God, it's really not that bad to look into yourself and see the truth. It's really, really not that bad. How much do your parents want to keep their crimes hidden? If you'll blow yourself through the jet engine of neural rearrangement, courting permanent brain fucking damage. Now, to me, all of that stuff is just a slow suicide of avoidance of parental crimes. It's all it is to me. I just hate drugs. I hate them with a burning passion of a thousand suns. Still better than sports. Watching sports, that is. Oh, my God. See, there are a few people who win the lottery, and there are a few people who get some interesting insights out of drugs. But for every one person who wins the lottery, there are hundreds of thousands who lose their savings. And for every one person who's like, well, I took a micro hit of LSD and my gosh, it opened me up creatively and I never felt anxiety again. Maybe that's true. I think it's bullshit. Can't prove it. Maybe it's true. Yes, and for every person who jumps out of a plane without a parachute, for every 10,000 people, there's one guy who makes it down alive. I still recommend a parachute. It's like all these fucking writers. Oh, it's so important to follow your dreams. You must commit to your dreams. You must never back down. Just believe in yourself. Never back down. Dream, dream, dream. Well, that's because you won. Because you mouth enough mealy-mouthed communist bullshit, brain-soaking, blood-curdling, human-disassembling, practical bullshit that the communists said, okay, fine, you can have access to the audience. Only if you poison them, though. Only if you poison them. Follow your dreams, says the one in a thousand people whose dreams work out. They were lucky.
Lucky. Lucky, lucky, lucky.
People are like, well, I did a little bit of LSD and it just opened my mind and I dealt with all of this blah, 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 blah. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. It's bullshit. Lies. Absolute, complete, and total lies. But I got these insights. Fuck insights. Fuck them. Fuck them with a tree stump. I'm telling you, fuck insights. I hate insights too. Well, that's, I got such an insight about why. It's like, no, you didn't. Insights without a moral core of rage are absolute useless, self-indulgent, navel-gazing, circle-jerk, ookie-cookie bullshit. If you have some insight that doesn't make you mad at the evils of the world and vow to fight them, then your insight is just self-indulgent. Oh, I made connections, I put a few pieces together, and I'm whole. It's all just such lies. There is no path to peace that does not go right through the center of philosophy. Everybody wants a shortcut. Everybody wants the easy road. Everybody wants the soft little hammock of self-indulgent bullshit. Everybody wants every excuse for everything but the actual fucking truth. And it's a little fucking tiring. Weed led me right to the center of myself. Nope. Weed gave you the illusions of connections and excused you from the necessary panic of moral improvement. Weed turned you into fertilizer to be rolled over by the combine harvester of the manure-spreading propaganda machines. You ever heard anyone say, you know, I took some drugs and then I realized that the most foundational issue in the world was child abuse and I'm doing everything I can to deal with that. No, it's always some, well, I realized this about myself, man. Me, I. I realized this, you know, I had this connection between myself and my past and my this. Like, bleh, shut up. Shut up about yourself all the goddamn time. Druggies cannot talk about other people if you drugged them. I'm just so fascinating, man. Like, I'm so deep, I didn't realize. Like, I got all these layers. Like, oh my God, shut up. I want to hear that sound of you pulling your head out of your ass, looking around and doing some good in the world that doesn't involve masturbating in your own halls of mirrored history. Just a bit. Just once in a fucking while. It's repulsive. To me. To me. Not that I don't sympathize with the suffering that caused it. I absolutely do. I absolutely sympathize with the suffering. What I don't sympathize with is the running away and calling it virtue. That's what I don't like. You go to a guy who drinks too much, he's like, yeah, I should probably cut back. You go to a guy who smokes too much weed, wall of text, justifications, you're square, you know how to relax, you know how to fun, it's all natural, like arsenic. Blah. Just horrendous. No, and I had people back in the day, 15, 17 years ago on the show, and they'd tell me all the insights, man. All of those insights that they got out of their drug use, man. And I'm like, okay, well, tell me an insight. Tell me an insight that you got out of doing drugs. Because it's just the feeling of connection. Like heroin is the feeling of happiness. It's not happiness. It's the feeling of connection. Yeah, man, everything's kind of coming together. What's coming together? Stuff. I'm making all these connections between what and what, between this and that, here and there, up and down, black and white, stuff and stuff, other stuff. Man, you can't just categorize it, man. It's just fluid. It's a feeling. Blech, shut up. You got nothing. You got nothing. Include nicotine and alcohol to that list, Steph. I can include alcohol. Nicotine is definitely a brain stimulant and not as bad as the other drugs, not mind-altering.
It's like when we talk on a previous show, people just want a pill to fix everything, in this case, the ayahuasca pill. Yeah, I have social anxiety disorder. Maybe you have asshole proximity disorder. Maybe everyone who surrounds you is an asshole. Maybe you have anxiety because you're guilty about some bad shit. You know, can't ever have the moral stuff. No, have a pill. You just need to manage your anxiety. You just need to manage your self-attack. Well, maybe you're attacking yourself because you did some shitty things. I know in my life, when I've done shitty things, I tend to attack myself. Because shitty things are attack-worthy. No, I can't think badly of myself. Why not? Are you perfect? I know I'm not. I feel really down on myself. Okay. Maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. Yeah, it turns out I abused my younger sister for 10 years, but I'm just really down on myself. Yeah, you should be. But it's all about... No, I have these negative feelings, and I just want to make them go away. Just, I need to find some way to make these negative feelings go away. When did we become such absolute albino craven cowards in the face of, ooh, feels bad. Feels bad, man. What ever happened to embrace the suck? Like a man stepping out of a spaceship without his suit. Embrace the suck. Nope, can't handle bad feelings. It's all fiat currency, can't handle bad feelings. Can't make any tough choices. Easily scared. We're going to scare you with global warming, even though the temperature hasn't really budged for 15 years. We're going to scare you about global warming until you cough up all of your freedoms and your children's economic future. Because you can't handle either A, there is global warming and you're doomed, or B, we're lying about it and complete predatory fucking assholes. Neither one of Mitch is much fun. How about we learn to handle negative feelings? Just a thought. Just a thought. How about we learn to stand in the storm of negative feelings and say, embrace the suck. Maybe the negative feelings have something to tell me, you know, like a sore tooth. Your tooth is infected and it's probably going to kill you if you don't deal with it. Oh, I just want to make these negative feelings go away. I don't want to investigate whether my tooth is healthy or not. Oh, I just need to find a way to make these bad feelings go away. I see these poor homeless people on the street and I feel bad. Take them in or shut up. Take them in or shut up. You know, a lot of times, if you take in homeless people, you'll find out very quickly why they're homeless. And that's because they tend to be addicts who steal everything that both is and is not nailed down, and you wake up with your TV gone, your cell phone gone, your kidney gone, your girlfriend broken up and sold for parts in the subway tunnels underneath the city. And then you're like, oh, so that's why they were homeless, because no one can stand to live with them or even have them sleep on the couch. And again, massive sympathies for the suffering that engenders those negative feelings. But we used to have a framework to deal with negative feelings called accepting the temptations of the devil. And now, in the secular world, negative feelings are just absolutely unacceptable and must be nuked away at every given opportunity. Take a pill. Take ayahuasca. Smoke drugs. Distract yourself with porn and video games. Get into politics. Anything to avoid the negative feelings. I'm going to carve myself up into good and bad. This part of me
I liketh this part of me. Gets my stamp of approval. I will lick its nads from North Pole to South Pole because this part of me, massive positive, much likey. Ooh, this part of me, though. Maybe the pattern recognition part of me, that's absolutely unacceptable. Bad. Must be nuked with drugs, distraction, alcohol, weed, you name it. Make it go away. Not part of me. Devil, cast it out. Nope. Everybody gets a seat at the table. I've been saying this for almost 20 years. And me? Everyone gets a seat at the table. Everyone. Nobody gets cast into the outer darkness. Nobody gets drugged and nuked. We have this odd thing where negative feelings are the mark of bad character. No, negative feelings are the mark of a good character if you accept them. Negative feelings are the mark of a good character. Because negative feelings are the actions of a robust conscience a lot of times. Negative feelings are the actions of a robust conscience. Can you imagine trying to navigate life with no negative feelings? With no acceptance of negative feelings, you'd be numb. And there's this funny idea, too, that life is supposed to be this eternal cavalcade of rip-bodied, beachside, drunken happiness. It's just supposed to be nothing but fun to be alive. It's absolutely wretched. There is almost nothing that would destroy your life faster or deeper than the belief that it's all supposed to be so much fucking fun. That not having fun is bad. Having a bad time is bad. Because then you surround yourself with shallow people who won't ever accept that you're unhappy and help you with it. Hey, shake it off, man. It's not literally not that serious. Nothing's that serious, man. Shake it off. Come on, let's go have fun. Let's go party. Let's go party. Loosen up. Fall apart. So, someone said I was talking to a therapist about my inner critic, and he said I ought to tie up my inner critic and throw him away. That alarmed me. Well, I'm not one to contradict your therapist. I'm just talking about my own experience that my inner critics were bang on, man. My inner critics were bang on. My inner critics saved my life. Life is a lot of not fun. Life should in general be a positive experience, for sure, but you cannot achieve anything positive without a whole lot of not fun. You can't start a business. You can't raise children. Marriage has been generally a lot of fun. You certainly can't do any good in the world. See, making you addicted to pleasure is one of the primary mechanisms by which evildoers gain power over the world. Because if you're not committed to virtue but rather pleasure, all that evildoers have to do is make it unpleasant for you to spread virtue, and you'll be like, whoa, okay, let's not do that. Let's not do that. That's unpleasant. Okay? Hedonism turns the world over to the bad guys. Hedonism turns the world over to the bad guys. It's very bad. Out of my brain on the train.
All right, so let's get to your question. Hi, Steph. I'm currently in a position where my boss and senior co-workers are assholes and bullying me. They are micromanagers and very unprofessional. I've gone ahead and applied to an internal position in the same department. The manager is much better. I'm worried about telling my manager that I've applied, but feel like I'm betraying him if I don't tell him and just announce I got a new job, if I do get this job. Sorry, you've been bullied by someone and you're concerned about your moral status with him? What am I missing here? Well, Steph, I'm 9 years old and my mom gives me $5 for lunch every day. And this kid has been beating me up and taking away my lunch money for the whole school year. It's mostly over now. It's the whole school year, 7 or 8 months. So my mom has switched to packing me monkey brains and snake soup and cucumber sea slug salad. Now, the bully in the playground, he's expecting his $5 like every day. Now, next week I start on the ghastly lunch, no money plan. He's not going to want the monkey brains and he's not going to get the $5. I feel so guilty, man. I feel like I've got to warn him. I feel like I've really got to just tell him that I'm just not going to be able to give him $5. Or he's not going to be able to bully the $5 every day of me for lunch. He's only going to get snake soup, cucumber, sea slug salad, and monkey brains. I mean, I feel like I'm betraying him if I don't tell him and warn him ahead of time that he needs to, you know, find some other solution for his monetary needs and his desire to dominate and beat the shit out of me. Because I feel like I owe him so much. Like, he's gotten used to getting this money from me. And I feel like I owe him this money now. So I'm betraying him if I don't warn him ahead of time that his income source is drying up and he's just going to get monkey brains instead. Tough question, my friend. Tough question. All right. Steph, what were your inner critics? Any tips on how to identify them or what to look for? Inner critics are aggressive when you attack and don't listen to them. We all are, right? If you're desperate to help someone and they won't listen to you and scorn you, right? You know, everybody's seen these endless scenes in movies where I saw this thing, man, and nobody else can see it. You gotta believe me, man. And nobody believes, right? People, if you're desperate, right? If you're desperate to tell people disaster is coming and they don't believe you, you tend to escalate and get more aggressive because you absolutely need people to listen. How to identify them? What to look for? Well, counterintuitive. Again, I can't speak for you. I can only speak for myself that for me, my inner critics, I had to apologize. Sorry. I'm so sorry. You're upset because I haven't been listening to you and you're desperately trying to tell me something. I apologize. I fell into this girly, don't be down on yourself. It's like, why not? Why not? We can see in modern society the absolute collapse of self-criticism and where it's leading. Now, everybody's a genius. Everybody gets the participation trophy. Everybody's fat and thin and sexy and good-looking, no matter what their body type. The absolute collapse of self-criticism is a catastrophe. Civilization is accepting criticism. Tyrants don't accept criticism, but civilization is being willing to accept criticism. That's what free speech is, being willing to be criticized. What are you trying to protect me from? What do I need to listen to that you're telling me that I'm not listening to?
A therapist told me inner critics are there to protect you. Do you agree with that?
Yes, for sure.
My inner mother is there to protect me, or was there to protect me from my outer mother. And they want to stop criticizing you too, right? Like if your doctor is saying you're fat, your doctor wants to stop criticizing you by you not being fat anymore, right? So inner critics, they're bored of being critics too.
Oh, excuse me, how rude. Somebody says, being unpleasant is a poor reason not to do things, I have found.
I have had to give up a lot of bad thinking, a few bad habits. Still have to get rid of some bad habits. The addiction sure is not pleasant to face down, but getting to the other side feels great. As you've said about delayed gratification is paying off in my life. Thrilled to hear it. Congratulations, well done. Well, well done.
So, in 1990 in America, zero states had obesity rates over 20%. Now, no states have obesity rates less than 20%. Isn't that wild? Isn't that wild?
There has been this trust the science thing. There's this meme floating around on the internet. There's a guy shouting out to his wife, hey, I found something that all the world's top scientists and doctors have missed. Right? You've seen this? It's a big debate, right? It's dangerous in a pandemic to do your own research. Trust us.
Jacinda Ardern, toothy golem. She is all about, we should be the only source of your information. The only source. Don't talk to anyone else.
Right, because what abusers always want to do is isolate you, right? Don't talk to anyone else. You can only talk to me.
Abusers will say, oh, so-and-so was bitching about you. Oh, well, I'll talk to so-and-so.
No, don't!
Because they don't want to find out that so-and-so wasn't bitching about you, right? Keep you isolated. And that's what censorship does.
They trust the experts.
So Owen Gregorian on X writes, when scientists make important discoveries, both big and small, they typically publish their findings in scientific journals for others to read. This sharing of knowledge helps to advance science. It can, in turn, lead to more important discoveries. But published research papers can be retracted if there is an issue with their accuracy or integrity. And in recent years, the number of retractions has been rising sharply. So, in 2023, the last year for which there is full year's data, how many research papers were retracted? What would you guess? How many research papers were retracted? And it has to be pretty big and serious to be retracted. Zero. Well, there are zeros involved. More than one. So, not quite close. So, the actual number is 10,000 research papers were retracted. I'll put that in here. 10,000. More than 10,000 research papers were retracted globally. This marked a new record. The huge number of retractions indicates a lot of government research funding is being wasted. Oh, if only the government only wasted money instead of funding gain of function research and war. If only the government just took your money and set fire to it in a lovely, cheery bonfire, at least we could get some s'mores or something, right? If only the government just wasted money, that would be an unbelievably fantastic improvement. He goes on to write, the publication of research papers drives university rankings and career progression, yet the relentless pressure to publish has contributed to an increase in fraudulent data. Unless this changes, the entire research landscape may shift towards a less rigorous standard, hindering vital progress in fields such as medicine, technology, and climate science.
climate science.
See, the government doesn't care about the fact that your children are born into $1 million of bottomless debt. They don't care about that at all. They don't care that children had what seemed to be some semi-permanent IQ drops over the pandemic. They don't care that for a year or two, you really didn't have any access to a doctor. They don't care that there are $200 trillion of unfunded liabilities. But you know what they do care about? Oh my gosh, they just absolutely, completely, and totally care about the temperature in 100 years. They lie awake. War? No problem. Children increasingly being abused to some degree as a result of single mother households? No problem. Mass rape along the border? No problem. But the fact that it could be a couple of degrees warmer, 60 or 70 years after I'm dead, my God, do I care about that? The fact that it also gives me trillions of dollars of income, it's completely besides the point, man. How dare you insinuate such a thing? I care about the temperature. I'm in love with ice. I need beaches. It is just a massive IQ test. I mean, it's just a massive IQ test. Oh, my. We don't care about increased crime, but we sure care about COVID. We don't care about massive rising obesity and chronic health conditions, but we don't want you to get sick from COVID. And boy, I just keep coming back to this, man. It's traumatic me. It's horrible. The temperature in 100 years. I can't even. The temperature in 100 years. We don't care that you voted for Trump, but the temperature in 100 years. There could be 3 to 4 inches less ice. Oh, yeah, climate science. Oh, that's a cold hand in my pocket, man. All right. Universities and research institutes commonly use the rate of publications as a key indicator of research productivity and reputation. Right. Why? Tips welcome. Tips welcome. Don't forget, freedomain.com/donate to help out the show. So why are they using metrics like the number and quality and spread of publications? Why? Why would they do that? Well, they would do that because there's no fucking market involved whatsoever. You know how you know if something is valuable? People will pay for it more than it costs to, I don't know, produce it. You know, when you're a kid and you have, as most kids do, the idea of having a lemonade stand, and you say, well, it's going to cost me 4 cents for the lemonade, but I can sell it for a quarter and I can make 21 cents. Because people are willing to pay for the cuteness and the lemonade more than it costs me to produce the lemonade. That's how you know the lemonade has some value, or at least the lemonade stand has some value. You want to encourage the kids, and lemonade is refreshing and all that. So, universities aren't selling anything. They're enforcing and inflicting socialism, but they don't sell fuck all, except lies to teenagers. So, you don't need all of this journals and publishing and publish or perish and peer review. You don't need any of that shit. You just need to sell some stuff in the free market. freedomain.com/donate. You just need to sell some stuff in the free market. That's it. But you got to create all of this artificial, well, it's how much you publish, and there's all this politics because there's no price. There's no free market at all. Recent evidence indicates the constant pressure to generate data and publish papers may be affecting the quality of research and fueling retractions of research papers. Retraction Watch is one of the largest databases to monitor scientific retractions. Launched in 2010, it reveals a growing trend in the number of publications being retracted. I will post this into the chat. Look at those numbers.
Isn't that something? What do we got here? Let's get some numbers out. That's right.
2013, 1510, 2014, 1192. And then it just goes up and up and up and up and up and up and up.
To close to 10K, I assume that there's some other stuff in there as well.
So over a decade, it's gone up, what, sevenfold, eightfold? In the past decade, there have been more than 39,000 retractions. But don't worry, I'm sure that the taxpayers got all their money back for those retractions. And the annual number of retractions is growing by around 23% each year. Of course, as you also know, there's this little lovely little socialist mousetrap in academia called tenure, which means you basically can't get fired. Say, oh, well, we don't want people getting fired for their controversial opinions. That would never happen in society, would it? So all that happens is that nobody with any controversial opinions ever gets hired because they can't get fired. So this guy is pretty funny too, right? Constant pressure to generate data and publish papers. Oh, the poor academics. Oh, the little sweethearts, the sweet summer children academics. How tragic and sad it is for them to have the business of pillaging the fucking taxpayer at the point of a gun, lying to teenagers about the value of their degrees, getting 4 months off in the summer, sabbatical years off every couple of years, nice conferences in warm places, always kind of by the beach. Oh, but you see, they're going through some pressure. Oh, and don't forget, they have to work at least 10 to 12 hours a week. Lazy fuckers. And they can't get fired. Oh, the poor academics. Oh, so tough for them. Oh, they're having such a difficult time. So much pressure on them. Well, quit, assholes. Come to the free market. Oh, don't want to do that, do you? Well, I guess I won't find quite as much sympathy for the pressure you're facing. Bunch of vampires, a lot of them. Nearly half the retractions in this tweet, nearly half the retractions were due to issues related to the authenticity of the data. Issues related to the authenticity of the data. So they lied. For example, in August, the United States Office of Research Integrity found that Richard Eckert, a senior biochemist at the University of Maryland, Baltimore, faked data in 13 published papers. 4 of these papers have been corrected, 1 has been retracted, and the remainder are still awaiting action. Plagiarism was the second most common reason research papers were retracted, accounting for 16% of retractions. Fake peer review was another reason why research papers were retracted. So the use of fake peer reviewers has increased tenfold over the past decade. There's also been an eightfold rise in publications linked to so-called paper mills, which are businesses that provide fake papers for a fee. Genuine mistakes in the scientific process accounted for only roughly 6% of all retractions in the last decade. Oh, man. Oh, the poor academics. So here's the funny thing, right? It's the tip of the iceberg. It's the tip of the iceberg. So wait for AI to get its hands on these papers. Wait for AI to get its hands on these papers and the source data. There is going to be a fucking forest fire through academia, and it's all going to be revealed as largely made up bullshit. Wait until AI gets its hands on the modeling of the temperatures 100 years from now.
Just wait.
Now, of course, there's going to be lots of people. Oh, I, you know, for privacy reasons, I can't make my data. Oh, okay, just don't. If you don't publish your data, in my view, my opinion, if you don't publish your data, you're just a fucking liar and a thief of the taxpayers' money and a con man. In my opinion, just release it, put the data out. You can anonymize it, right? Put the data out. So when the data is put out, an AI goes like a wildfire through the dry tinderwood of academic dry brain, it is gonna be revelatory in the extreme. That academia is largely a mirrored maze of infinite bullshit, plagiarism, lies, falsification, unclear assumptions, lack of replication or replicatability. It's going to be wild. When AI gets the source data and can compare the source data with a rigorous methodology and also then compares everybody's conclusions with everyone else's conclusions, right? There's some AI that's doing that now that's just looking for publicly available data and looking for correlations, which haven't been seen before. But when AI gets its hands on source data and can compare your source data with the other guy's source data, with your conclusions, your methodology, and it's going to all happen in an automated fashion, the amount of papers that are retracted are big and important enough for people to find and challenge them. The average academic paper gets no more than a couple of dozen reads. And if there was any justice on this planet, the academics as a whole would be quaking in their boots at the idea that AI is going to automate the cross-examination of the data methodology and conclusions and potential plagiarism of every research paper known to man, God, and devil. And in my view, in my prediction, the entire house of cards of credibility is going to come crashing the fuck down. Heard of someone being kicked off TikTok for promoting dieting being fit, as it may be harmful because it might trigger eating disorders. While fat positive is promoted, that's how sick it is. Well, no, that's just fifth generation warfare, right? You understand that, right? Thank you, Matt. It's just fifth generation warfare. It is, nuclear weapons have made conventional war obsolete. So now we'll just wage war and make your women so unattractive that the birth rate plummets. You understand, right? This is not complicated. I'm sure we all understand this, right? We're just going to make your women so unattractive by promoting things that men hate, like obesity, so that the birth rate plummets. And that way we don't have to kill your soldiers. We'll just make sure they're never born in the first place. Yeah, I mean, I did environmental modeling in my career, so I know a little bit about this. So, like I spent years working on environmental modeling, not about the weather, but about best practices in business going forward to minimize environmental impact. So I do a little bit, I've done some coding about how to do environmental modeling and seek best case scenarios and all of that. It's not so much that, I mean, of course, it's all just a bunch of assumptions. And if you say to someone, well, you're going to get $100 million if your assumptions produce X, and there's no way to objectively validate those assumptions, don't be surprised. If the assumptions produce X, it's like giving someone a lottery ticket that's blank after the winning lottery ticket has been announced and saying, well, you can fill this out yourself. What do you think they're going to fill out? They're going to fill out the winning lottery ticket. It's not that complicated. If you fill out these numbers, you get $1 million. Since you're welcoming tips, somebody sent $2. Yeah, do my particular thing is I don't care about the nukes. I don't think the nukes are going to go anywhere. Because now we have, this is why war has become different now. Because the leaders get blown up. You know, it's not much fun running a war if you get vaporized too, right? So conventional warfare has become, between nuclear powers, has become impossible. And so this is why you're getting all this other stuff, right? That's why I like the Jolly Heretic. He's a scientist funded by his viewers. And quite self-expressed, I might add, as well. I flipped on one of his videos the other day, and there he was, in a blonde wig. I appreciate the flexibility in presentation style. I'm sitting here listening while I work and absolutely loving today's rant so far. Good insight. Thank you. Thank you, Rachel. I appreciate that. Nukes will be deployed on military bases, not cities. China needs living space. No, I don't even think nukes will be deployed on military bases because it's too easy to escalate once that Rubicon gets crossed and because the radiation will drift in the wind and, yeah, it's... I don't think the nukes are going to be used. I mean, why do you need nukes when you have gain-of-function research? Right? Why? When you can weaponize the cold and then weaponize the propaganda systems, why would you need nukes? All right. Let's see other questions. So yeah, this confirmation bias is all too funny. Oh yeah, the abortion wars and bleeding out in parking lots. Woman charged with murder after losing her pregnancy. A South Carolina woman had a miscarriage and was charged with murder, a direct consequence of the Republican abortion bans in the state, CNN reports. Oh, gosh. And apparently, this is according to reports, a state grand jury declined to pressure to pursue charges against a former South Carolina State University student accused of murder after her baby died following a premature birth. So, what are the actual facts? Did she just have a tragic miscarriage, like 20 to 30% or sometimes even more, depending on the age of pregnancies result in miscarriage? So, was it that a woman had a miscarriage and she was charged with murder? I mean, how does anyone believe this stuff even at face value? Right? So, what is the actual story? Amari Marsh was a this is from Post and Courier. Amari Marsh was a 22-year-old college student in February 2023 when she traveled to an Orangeburg area hospital after experiencing pain in her abdomen connected to her pregnancy. She left the emergency room and suffered a miscarriage in the following morning while on the toilet. According to the police, the fetus, then gestating for several months, was still exhibiting signs of life when recovered by Orangeburg EMS, but died shortly after. So, later, the police had learned that Marsh had sought medication from a Columbia chapter of Planned Parenthood in January that could have caused an abortion. So what does that mean? It means that, according to some allegations, I don't know what the truth is, but according to some allegations, Marsh was charged with murder because she had a live birth, did not render aid to her newborn, and left the newborn in the toilet to die. She was not charged in relation to any abortion-restricting laws. And this poor young black woman, right? Marsh was charged with murder because she had a live birth, did not render aid to her newborn, and left the newborn in the toilet to die. She was not charged in relation to any abortion-restricting laws. Oh, all these pictures of The Handmaid's Tale. An abortion isn't even banned in South Carolina. Oh, it's just
astonishing. People just get upset, right?
Somebody says, she delivered a live baby that she dumped into the toilet and allowed to die. This was murder, not a miscarriage.
Again, the facts, I'm not going to say that anything on social media is gospel, or anything I'm going to read about this at all is gospel. But my gosh.
China is currently colonizing Africa. Yes, a lot of free loans flowing from China to African warlords.
You know, it's going to be wild. It's going to be absolutely wild to see how the indigenous population of Africa fares under the Chinese as opposed to the Europeans. Meet the new boss. Ain't the same as the old boss. And there's going to be like, wow, we really didn't know how good we had it when it wasn't the Chinese in charge. Are you planning on doing any more collab videos like you used to do in the past, or interviews of interesting people? Yes, I just did a 5-part series with Keith Knight, video with the Lotus Eaters. I did a video with the Lotus Eaters and an interview about peaceful parenting. Yeah, I've got one coming up too. In October. In October. There's a couple of people I would absolutely love to interview. I'm still mulling it over.
You know, I honestly, I have some concern about people getting in some trouble because of collaborating with me. I mean, that's all, right? So,
Kevin Bass, PhD, MS. Oh, I guess he's a Ms. too. Masters of Science, I assume. PhD, Masters of Science. He wrote 2023 meta-analysis of 40 high-quality studies. COVID death rate in 2020 for people younger than 70 was 0.07% or 1 in 1,500. That is not even counting comorbidities and other things as well. And didn't the flu just kind of mysteriously vanish over that time period as well? Isn't that something? 1 in 1,500.
And all of this was known in the summer of 2020.
That's crazy. I mean, just wild.
Oh, yes. Making scientific discoveries simply by connecting information already existing in the public domain.
So this guy named Swanson realized he could make discoveries by connecting information from scientific articles and subspecialty domains that never cited one another and that had no scientists who worked together. For example, by systematically cross-referencing databases of literature from different disciplines, he uncovered 11 neglected connections between magnesium deficiency and migraine research and proposed that they could be tested. So that's pretty wild.
And that's not even AI, but when AI starts to do all of this stuff, ooh, just fantastic.
The IT unemployment rate has been higher than the national unemployment rate for 7 of the past 8 months. If you know anyone in tech, give them a hug. It's hard times.
Yeah, and the IT stuff is just going to get worse and worse and worse. That's because the amount of code that AI can write is absolutely staggering.
And somebody wrote, last week, the Wall Street Journal reported on the decline of tech jobs, particularly entry-level and recruiting roles, suggesting they might be gone for good. I initially thought it was exaggerated, but then saw a UC Berkeley computer science professor mention that even his top students are struggling to get job offers. That's concerning. My kid is far from college, but I'm curious how are parents of high schoolers approaching career guidance for their kids in light of this?
Yeah, IT age. The IT age, to me, the fun IT age, was the 80s and the 90s. It got worse after that.
The death rate from COVID for those aged 0 to 19 years is 0.0003%, or 1 in 333,333. They shut down schools for that, he wrote. Many children experience unrecoverable developmental delays, They sacrifice large numbers of the young for a tiny minority of the very old.
Yes. I mean, I said this back in 2020, that the lockdowns would do far more harm to people than COVID ever could. And that's, I mean, seems to be the case for sure.
Yeah, the chronic disease epidemic is really something. I'm like literally half frightened of food these days, if that makes any sense. I could be completely wrong about this. It's just my subjective experience. But I'm legit frightened of food now. I'm like, if it's not whole, like eggs or fruit, or like if it's been tampered by human beings in any way, I assume it's half poison. It's just my particular opinion, but. Yeah, you need to look up King Leopold. The history is not what you're told. All right. Hey, Steph, you said that it takes about half the time of the relationship to recover from a breakup. If it's so, how should the transition look like? If a girl is 3 years in a relationship and I would steal her from the guy, should she first mourn for 1.5 years and then date me? Is it a bad sign if she would be willing to break up and immediately start dating me? Is that a sign that she cannot form a strong bond? Yes. So the reason you need, right, it's an old Japanese proverb, like if you're in a train, I guess it's not that old. If you're in a train going the wrong direction, get off at the first stop, because otherwise you just got longer to travel back, right? So the question is, what is the pause for? What, just having had a pause. What is the pause for? Why do you need time after a relationship to heal? Well, because you need to figure out why you got in and why you stayed in, and that takes a while. It's not like it's magic, right? It just, on average, it takes people a year and a half to stop blaming the other person and start taking some goddamn accountability for their bad decisions. That's all. That's all. It just takes people that long to stop blaming the other person and take just a little smidge of accountability in their lives. One advantage of much in Europe is that they still have strict laws against NGOs, etc. NGOs? Non-genomic organizations. I'm so sorry. I probably know that by a different acronym. I'm sorry. I'm either having a brain fart or something like that. NGOs are non-government organizations, right? I don't think you mean NGOs. Maybe you do, and it's an acronym. I don't know. GMOs? Do you mean GMOs? Genetically modified organisms? Is that what you mean? Somebody says, I believe autism is caused by child abuse. Well, there's, what is it? They did a study of the Amish and they found only 3 cases of autism, and those were all adopted from outside. But the other thing too is that the government doesn't really seem to care why autism rates are just going through the roof. And they don't even care why this brain affliction is hitting so many kids, and in particular boys. They don't care about that in particular, but apparently they really care about the temperature 100 years from now. It's just wild. It's just wild. GMOs, I meant, sorry, not NGOs. Yeah, I thought so. Hey, I puzzled it out myself. All right, let's check over here. Summer 2020, what a time. What a time. My whole life, I'm like, we should privatize healthcare. Well, people have to have access to healthcare. Well, apparently not. You can just turn it off, right? Just turn off their access. People can go without healthcare for a year or two. Apparently, it's totally fine. It's totally fine. Among 45-plus-year-old Americans, 7% of those with children would have zero if they could go back. 56% of those without children would have some if they could go back. 7% of those with children would have zero if they could go back. And I would assume that the 7% who wish they hadn't had kids are the ones who dumped them in daycares and parented badly, and then their kids turned out badly and they regret having them. But what you should really regret is being bad parents. I'm not saying that's true for all of them, but that would be my first argument. So this is why 56% of those without children would have some if they could go back. I assume the numbers are higher, but people have a way of overcoming those regrets. So here's pretty wild, right? And let me ask you this. This is a question that Stillwell links posted on X. Please ask how many... Welcome to the club, Naomi. Oh, this is... I lost that. All right. Please ask. This is Naomi Wolf. She's please ask how many of your followers are now disconnected from their family members since COVID. I'm interested in your results. Isn't that interesting? So when I said to people, you don't have to stay in abusive relationships, I was called like an evil cult leader all across the world for years and years and years. And then all the people who were like, well, I got to stay with these abusive people just got dumped over COVID anyway. Apparently separating families is really bad if the family's evil and you're virtuous, but it's totally fine if you're afraid of a bad cold. All right. So this is my question to you. And we can make this the last question of the night. But... did you lose members? Did you lose family members over COVID? Did you? So a few people answered. Very disconnected, but especially disconnected from the one I needed, who passed away. And I've heard a complaint to say dead instead. Nope, passed away in heaven, alive in Jesus' arms, complete with visitations and reassurances, still disconnected. What does that mean? I think that means died. Me too, lost two dear friends, both highly vaxxed, one 63, the other 59, both totally against ivermectin. Boy, I remember when 59 seemed really old, as opposed to slightly less than a year away. Somebody wrote, I was born and raised in Los Angeles since the 1950s, and like many of us, I left my home, family, and friends in 2021 for a new life along Florida's Treasure Coast. They didn't want to hear my conspiracy theories, and I couldn't watch their mass suicide. We made new friends. Somebody writes, our belief that it was a plandemic and not real divided us from our adult children who went along with their spouse's fear and got the jab. Somebody wrote, this is very sad for me, not completely disconnected, but only because we are far too Midwestern for that, but a major chilling. We're not the same family at all. My sister was my person, and now it's just niceties at holidays. Woman writes, still heartbroken. I was not allowed to see my daughter-in-law or attend her baby shower while she was carrying my first grandchild. I had to wait 2 months to meet him. I've never had COVID, 2 blood tests, had to sleep in a hotel for the visit. Our relationship has crumbled. My head hurts. Somebody writes, my son's father has never met his almost 4-year-old granddaughter. He will not see his only son because they aren't fully vaccinated. A woman named Erin writes, I've lost an entire friend group. A woman writes, 3 of my 4 kids have gone woke and got the shots. They're very defensive of their decision. One is combatively defensive and will not comply with an acceptance of an agreement to disagree. She has to push it all the time. I'm just a crazy mom, better to stay away, sadly. Brittany wrote, I've felt isolated from what was my church family. Sadly, this happened to my husband and me. We had one child, a girl, and she completely cut us out of her and our granddaughter's life. She was raised in a loving home, grew up in church, and had a wonderful childhood. I believe wholeheartedly she was indoctrinated. Jim writes, my 2 nephews won't talk to me because of COVID and Trump. My friend, who I've known since 5th grade, told me he's gotten all shots, boosters, etc. I mentioned ivermectin. He said he hadn't heard about it, but thought I was crazy. Haven't spoken since. That was months ago. Eugenia writes, I have a close friend who has 8 boosters, had an MI 2 weeks after her 8th booster, and just recently had COVID again. All day, every day, it's COVID, this and that, and now, and then got really angry at my husband and I because we voted Republican, angry to the point of crying. I don't know, had an MI 2 weeks after her eighth booster. I'm not sure what that is. I'm sure it's obvious if I think about it in hindsight, but I don't know what that is. Can the left be moral? I mean, people who are indoctrinated cannot be moral because they don't have any particular reasons behind what they're doing. So people who are indoctrinated on the left or the right can't particularly be moral. All right. Yeah, the stories of the family disintegrations under COVID was just terrible. Michael writes, yes, I raised 7, and they're supposed to be independent thinkers. Some are nurses and doctors, lawyers, accountants, and financial wizards. Others are amazing in their own right. COVID almost tore us apart, but the further removed we are from COVID, I see hope on the horizon. Katrina writes, we don't talk about it. They know my opinion, and I know theirs. As much as it's frustrating, I know I'm loved, and I can't fathom not spending time with them because they're all jabbed. As much as it pains me, they've changed in other positive ways and love me, they're lost. Someone writes, we were uninvited to our annual 0704 family gathering. We understood, but saw pics of them with other unvaccinated grandkids. They said Fauci said it was okay if they were under 14. We'd already had it at that point. Too much to explain, but we're the only conservatives. Yeah, I wrote about this in my novel, The Present, with all of his family in the gathering together of gratitude and love and faith. And the woke woman, well, the woke daughter and her mother, was just ugly, ugly people. Jen writes, friends and family sadly can't think for themselves and believe all the life they've been fed about vaccines and many other things in our lifetime. Somebody writes, I'm estranged from my older sister. She never believed me about anything, and now that so much of what she poo-pooed has been exposed, there's no apology or acknowledgement. My husband's sister has disowned him because he's a Trumpster and unvaxxed. Nice people, right? Somebody writes, I stated early on I wasn't getting vaxxed. I was given the cold shoulder by many for that winter, not allowed to attend a dear friend's funeral. Was the cruelest, but I'm glad to say I now have recovered my family and friends. Seeing me healthy throughout, I think, sent a powerful message. Yeah, it's very sad. I find this stuff just heartbreaking. MI, myocardial infarction or heart attack. Oh, thank you. Okay, thank you. All right, let's finish up here. Any other last tips? I would really appreciate it. Someone wanting into your pants are not going to be the most trustworthy person to tell you why your last relationship failed. Yeah, for sure. All of us family get together sounds like a fun time. Yeah, yeah. Yes, yes, yes. All right, any other last questions, comments? Let me just check over here on the Rumble. Steph's audience is old. Damn. No, this is not my audience. I'm just reading from Twitter. Twit to the All right. Going once, going twice. I really appreciate everyone's time tonight. Sorry we've been a little bit light on the call-in shows lately. I'm sort of aware of that. I know the call-in shows are very popular. We've been a little bit light on the call-in shows because I've been doing some private calls. People really want to have calls outside of the public eye, so I've been doing those, but we have more coming up. So sorry, but we've been a little light on the call-in shows, but they're coming up. Somebody writes, I think on the subject of women changing their stance slash behavior on premarital sex, one good reason is that it's irresponsible to risk bringing a child into an unstable relationship. So, but the reality is that going from bad decisions to good decisions is really complicated and tough in life, man. Going from bad decisions to good decisions is really complicated and tough, right? So if a woman slept around and used sex as a mechanism to get men, as a mechanism to get attention, that's really unhealthy
And the question is, how did she end up so unhealthy? Right? So it's not just a question of, well, I've seen the error of my ways, right? The question is, why did you have to figure that out for yourself? So let's just talk about women, right? So if a woman slept around, has a high body count, then the question is why? Did her parents not prepare her for the sexual or romantic power that she was going to have in the world? Did they not teach her how to do well and to honor her body and the beauty of sexuality and so on by reserving it to a genuinely loving relationship? So either she had good parents she didn't listen to, or she had bad parents. Either way, well, I guess if your kid doesn't listen to you, it's your fault as the parent, right? Because you're responsible for having credibility in your relationship with your kids. So it indicates a significant dysfunction. Also, she's in the wrong crowd. She's with the wrong people. She doesn't have an internalized sense of morality. She hasn't thought about the downsides. She's hedonistic, and she hasn't thought about the downsides of getting involved with a sexual relationship with someone you don't know very well or isn't a quality person. She hasn't thought about the downsides. She hasn't read counter-arguments. She hasn't pondered it deeply. Right, so there's it's all tip of the iceberg. The decision to sleep around is not just, well, there's a body count and you can just say, well, I'm going to change. It's like, no, you got to figure out why you ended up making such unwise decisions. And for women in particular, a high body count is just brutal. It is more difficult. It is much more difficult for women to deal with a high body count, because during a time of war, men needed to sleep with a lot of women to replenish the tribe. So, it's not good. It's not good at all. It's not good at all. Women are more pair bonded, they have more investment, so for a woman to sleep around is generally worse. It's not great for men, for sure, but it is worse as a whole for women than it is for men. All right. Let's see here. Do you still plan to add to the History of Philosophy series? Yes, the AI bots are a great resource. Yeah, for donors, you get new, we've loaded up almost 100 call-in shows to a call-in AI. And I'm desperate to get an AI that you can talk to rather than type. But it's hard to find these days and hard to make accurate. I would love for an AI that you could talk to as if it was me and it would respond even in my voice. I mean, that would be cool, man. Replicate staff, and then I have a place to upload when I die. So I think it's very cool. So yes, there is a new call-in show AI. You can check if you're a donor at freedomain.locals.com or subscribestar.com/freedomain. There's a great new call-in show AI. All right. My girlfriend, says Bob, my girlfriend is loving your book, Real-Time Relationships. She says it flows really well and is easily understood. Thanks for your work. Much appreciated. Oh, thank you. Regarding a woman who sleeps around, could it be that she was raised in a broken home with little to no parental guidance and later realized that it was wrong and she should break this cycle by making sure she doesn't have a child out of wedlock? Well, sure, but how much time and energy and effort does it take to deal with being raised in a broken home? How can you find out the true body count of a woman since she can just lie when asked? Well, you can just look at her social media, right? And has she traveled, right? If she's been to college, almost certainly a high body count. If she has tattoos, almost certainly a high body count. If she's ever done drugs, if she's ever done a lot of drinking, ever gone to a lot of parties, ever traveled when young without a lot of money, and so on, right? If she's ever had suspiciously high purchases for a relatively low-income person, and so if she's ever posted thirst traps on social media, then she almost certainly has a high body count. So there's lots of ways that you can figure this stuff out. If the AI gets good enough, Steph may be done away with once it takes over. No, it will never get that. It will never get that good. What are your thoughts on Gen Z and hope for the future? You're going to have to be a bit more specific. You can email me at host@freedomain.com. host at freedomain.com. Just be a little bit more specific. That's too generic a question for me to answer. All right. Okay, well, thanks everyone so much for your time this evening. Somebody says, personally, I'm not sure. I was raised in a broken home, but never had premarital sex. I realized a lot of the problems with my upbringing in my late teens when I got into your content. See, this is somebody with Doug and Jessica, right? So this is Jessica, right? This is Jessica. This is Jessica. You are doing the meme. Yeah, you're doing the meme. You're doing a meme. Here's a general question. Here's a general answer. But it doesn't apply to my specific case. Yes, so you're doing the female meme. I love you for it. I think it's great, but you do realize this is a complete cliche. We're having an argument about an abstract topic that involves everyone on the planet, but it doesn't apply to your specific situation. So then you say, no, not sure, because me, I. Most people don't win the lottery. No, I don't really think that's true because I won the lottery. It's like, no, so this is the meme, right? You understand? It's I love the way that women's minds work, but this is one of the ways that it's very predictable for the most part, right? Tons of exceptions, but this is one part that's very predictable, which is women can compare abstractions to their own personal experience in general, right? In general. The point that you brought up in past streams on the amount of young women who are all in on abortion is chilling. Oh yeah, it's absolutely brutal. I just don't know how long it takes to get past the broken home situation for a woman who slept around. Well, I don't know either. But it's a lot of work. I'm pretty good at this stuff, you know, with some humility, like nobody's perfect, but I'm pretty good at this stuff. I started getting into self-knowledge when I was in my mid-teens. I really started getting into it in my early 20s. And then in my early 30s, I did 18 months of therapy, which was 3 hours a week, two sessions of an hour and a half on Tuesdays and Thursdays afternoon, did 20 months, I think it was, of therapy. And so 3 hours a week with very little breaks. And also I did 8 to 10 hours of journaling and other forms of work. And then I was ready to get married. So your thoughts on how I can assess my level of mental maturity, even if I'm mature enough for my age? That is a good question. I will not do that now. I will do it this week. Just make a note of it here, and I will save it. But that's a great question. How will you assess your own mental maturity? I support women withholding sex without access to abortion. Save it to the marriage bed. All right. Well, thanks everyone so much for a lovely, lovely chat this evening. I was a little low energy coming in for a variety of reasons. I did two other shows today. But I really do appreciate your time, care, and attention. If you're listening to this later, you can make up for, listen, I understand it's a low donation night. People were kind on my birthday, so no problem with that. If you're listening to this later, if you could help out at freedomain.com/donate, hugely appreciate it. Thank you, my lovely darlings, for a beautiful evening. Lots of love from up here. We'll talk soon.